Welcome back, everybody, to Spiritual Conversations with your host, Drake Miller. I am so thankful to be back. I have been looking forward to doing this, to being back with you, talking with you again about the myriad of topics we cover through our conversations. I could not be more thankful to have the opportunity to come to you every week and encourage you, give you some thoughts to carry with you throughout the week and hopefully help you. And I am so hoping that you have had a blessed weekend and a blessed past week, that you were in such a presence of God yesterday and you have been able to enjoy time with family and friends wherever you may be. There was a recording artist a few years ago. She released a song called People. And in the live recording of that song, she said, if we're going to make it, we must realize that it will have to be together or not at all. We must recognize that people need people. And that's why I come to you every week, opening up my episodes with hoping that you have enjoyed time with family and friends. I hope you have taken time to be with those around you, to tell your loved ones how much you love them, to tell your friends how much you care about them. We've learned a lot over the past few years, and one thing that we have learned is how precious our time with the people around us really is. And so I hope you have taken that lesson with you and really implemented it in your life. And I want to take a moment with that and just say how much I value my friends and family and you, even though I may not know all of you very well. I still love you and I appreciate you so much for your continued support this past week as I launched Spiritual Conversations. I have had so many different words of encouragement, suggestions on how to reach people better, and all in all, just support me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I want to say in that I'm thankful for all the response that I've gotten. And in that response, I would love to hear from everyone, not just my close friends or family, but I would love to hear from you. If you're listening, no matter where you're at, if you're across the state or you're around the globe, I would love to hear from you. And I have a couple of ways you can do that. You can always message me through social media. I have my profile on Instagram, and you can direct message me through Facebook as well. You can leave a comment wherever you have found this episode, and I will be sure to respond as fast as I can. And also, you can email me at spiritualconversations.drake@gmail.com, because I realize that in addition to me wanting to hear back from you, get some feedback, hear what you're thinking about it, I also would love to hear from you if you have questions. If you don't understand something I've said, or maybe you want to explore something more, maybe you need to talk about something, I would love to be able to help you, not just every Monday, but throughout the week the best I can. So please feel free to reach out to me, talk to me. I would love to hear from you all. And again, I thank you so much for your support throughout this past week. And before I get started today, I want to make a shameless plug. If you're a student at the University of Georgia, and maybe you want to know more about this man called Jesus we talk about, or maybe you already know him and you're contending for the faith, I would love to get you connected to an organization called The Field, which meets every Thursday on campus. It is a on-campus ministry that is connected locally to our church, Restoration Apostolic, and it is connected on a much larger level to Campus Ministries International, which is a ministry out of the United Pentecostal Church. I realize that contending for the faith, or much more trying to get established in the faith while being on a college campus, is very hard. You have trials and temptations and questions and all sorts of persuasions swirling around you. You've got deadlines and pressure and assignments and classes taking up your time. There's all sorts of things going on, and I would love to help you be able to connect more with the Lord. And also, if you are not at UGA, but you're on another campus and you need help finding a campus ministry, or you need help finding a church in your local area, I would love to help you with that. You can use those same avenues I talked about earlier to reach out to me. I would love to help you. And all of you, no matter if you're in my area or you are across the state or around the world and you need help finding a church, you need help connecting with people of like precious faith, I would love to help you. We know people in a lot of different areas. We have a lot of resources for you, and I would love to help you with that. So please feel free to reach out to me. But with that, I want to talk to you about, it's all about heaven. I want to get into the Word and see what we can glean from the Word of God and learn today. I hope last week I was able to help us. I hope I was able to help us put into perspective how to count it all joy, no matter where we're at, whether we're in a time of light or darkness, peace, or maybe calamity. I hope I was able to show us what it means for us here and what it means for us there, what it means to go through things and give us a purpose behind it. I want to remind us that evenings always give rise to morning. So if you find yourself in an evening time, you've got a new day coming. And dusk is just reassurance that another dawn is headed our way. There's an old song that said one time, "You can't hold back the dawning." And it went on to say, "Here on earth, we grope in the shadows. It's a midnight hour of grief and pain. But he said, my child, keep watching and waiting, for the sun is going to shine again." So keep your head up, my friend. Keep your chin up. Maybe stand up every once in a while. Put a smile on your face, realizing it's all going to be all right. You're facing something now, but it's going to be worth it, both here and now. We have promise of reward for righteous living and right belief, both on this earth and in heaven. And I want to encourage you today to just count it all joy, no matter where you're at. And I would encourage you, while you're facing hard times, don't just hold on until it's over. There is certainly power in holding on, certainly power in never letting go of the Lord. But when that trial and that test is over, take a lesson with you. Realize that by coming through that, your faith is stronger. Your patience is developed. You have more virtue. You've taken on more of the character of God, and your foot resteth in an even place. Count it all joy that when we have come to a trial, God is already convinced that we can come through the trial. I remind us from our discussion last week that Scripture said that we have ceased from sin, taken on the mind of Christ when we suffer these things. And we are being prepared by the hand of Christ himself to work us towards inheriting a crown of life that we eternally cast at his feet. And we get to inherit a throne of glory and receive the end or perfection of our faith. I want to encourage you today to take with you lessons and encouragement, and take with you the joy that God has got his hand in our life. I read this just yesterday, and I want to share it because I think it'll help us. It's an acronym using the word problems, and it tells us what problems are and what they do and how they help us. The P in problem stands for predictors. They help mold our future. The problems of today propel us into the opportunities of tomorrow. Our today is molding our future. We are a composite of everything we've gone through, and everything we go through works out for our good. So they are a mold for our future. You are being prepared, and so they are predicting where you're going. The R is reminders. It's a reminder that we are not self-sufficient, but we need God and others to help. That's why the Lord is our strength. And the New Testament writer said, bear each other's burdens. We need people. We need God. To love God and to love your neighbor is to fulfill the royal law, Scripture said. So we aren't self-sufficient. You can't do this on your own. You need God and you need people. And the O in problems is opportunity. They pull us out of a rut and cause us to think creatively. They create opportunities that we need to live through and we need to learn from. They get us out of our rut. They disturb our nest, and they disturb us straight into our destiny. The B in problems is blessing. They open up doors that we usually would not walk through. There is a blessing built in every problem. Every problem we go through is laden with blessing. Every problem we go through will bring us to an open door that the Lord has brought us to walk through. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it brought us into a trial so that we would keep walking through the trial and we would walk through an open door. There's a blessing in our problem. The L is lessons. Each new challenge will be our teacher. Make everything you go through, catch this, make everything you ever go through your teacher. Learn from it. I have said many times in conversation that there is significance, there is meaning, there is a lesson in every printed word of the Bible, down to every article, being it if, ands, or buts. And just as it is with the word in our life, there is meaning in every if, and, or but. If you come to an if in your life, well, I don't know if this will happen. There's going to be a lesson in it. If you come to an and, that there's something always added on, an and, there's lesson there. And if you come to a but, there is lessons there too. Make every challenge your teacher. E. And problem stands for everywhere. No place or person is excluded from them. This recaps from last week when we said everybody will suffer. Everybody will face problems. The difference is not the presence of a problem, but it is our mentality about them. It is the purpose and the endurance that's the key. It's our mentality. We can either count it all joy or think it all strange. He said, count it all joy when you suffer diverse temptations. And Peter said, do not think it strange. So we can either choose to count it all joy or think it all strange. Our mentality or attitude concerning our fiery trial is the difference. There was a wise man one time that said, our attitude and our aptitude determines our altitude. Our attitude is our emotion towards it. It is our outlook on the problem. Our aptitude is our ability to overcome the problem. And our altitude is the product of those two things. We can either have a right attitude, we can either count it all joy, recognize our aptitude that we can come through it, and we are more than conquerors. Thus, we will be able to fly and operate at high altitudes, seeing our circumstance from heaven's point of view, knowing it's all about heaven. Or we can have a bad attitude, degrade our aptitude, thinking we'll never come through the problem, and that will cause us to operate at low altitudes, always looking down at our problem and believing we will be destroyed by it. So remember, our attitude and our aptitude determines our altitude. You're coming through it, my friend. Just have the right mentality about it. The M in problems is for message. They warn us about potential disaster. The Lord may bring us to something, a hard decision to make, a hard trial, a fiery trial, a difficult situation, and He's sending us a message. Don't go down that way. Don't do that. He did it to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet in the Bible. He was given a word from the Lord. He was to go to Nineveh and preach the word of God. And Jonah decided not to. And so he got on a boat. He was running from the Lord. And the longer he ran from the Lord on that ship, the worse the storm got. They came into a bad storm. And the longer he stayed on that ship, the worse that trial got, the worse that thing got. And the moment he jumped off of it and he went through a process and was found himself back at Nineveh, he was back in the peace of God. There's a message of potential disaster sometimes in our problem. Listen, be keen to the word of God. And the S, the last letter of problems, S means solvable. There's no problem without a solution. God has always given us a way of escape. You can always come through it. There's always a solution to our problem. So don't be discouraged, but count it all joy, knowing it's all about heaven. You know, I had a friend of mine last week say, "Great episode." She was giving me a word of encouragement. She said, but it took me a minute to see how you were going to take this conversation of joy that we experience on earth and make it relevant to heaven. And I said, "Great. That's what I intended to do. That's what I wanted to do." Last week, we discussed how to count it all joy on this earth. We talked about problems, how they're predictors, reminders. There's opportunities built in them. There's blessings built in them. There's lessons built in them. We realized that problems are everywhere, that there's a message in them, and that they're all solvable. But this week, we're going to apply that to heaven. And I talked about the criteria of heaven last week in its most... But I want to talk to you this week about what it is more. And so I ask you this. What is the criteria of heaven in its most basic but profound form? The most basic definition of the criteria of heaven is that we withstand the fiery trials of God while on this earth and allow God to purify or refine our faith. It's that we take on the character of Christ. Please understand this. God is more interested in character than He is talent. God is a God of character more than He is anything else. He wants to see us grow into the character of Christ. He's developing in us the character of Christ so we can stand with Christ in that moment. He is developing our character. Every time we go through a trial, every time we come to a hard decision, we are having the character of God ingrained in us. It's the character of Christ. That's the criteria of heaven, that we will stand with with Jesus having His character, and we will live with Him in eternity. And how can we see that this is the criteria of heaven? One of the most basic ways to find this out in Scripture for yourself is to look at everything in heaven. There's not one thing there that has not been through a trial. Let's read Revelation 21 and the building of the wall of it, talking about the new heaven and new earth. The building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardith, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Isn't it beautiful? A place called heaven. And friend, heaven is not just a place. It's not just a theory. Heaven is not just an idea. Heaven is not just a theological abstraction used to give us a false hope to endure all these fiery trials. Heaven is not just something written down in a book. Heaven is a place, and it's up, and we're going there. But as beautiful as heaven is, and my friend, go and read Revelation 21 and 22. Heaven is gorgeous. As beautiful as it is, more than hearing how pretty it is, we commonly want to know how to get there. And the things listed in this passage give us insight on how to do it, explanation of the process, and hope for enduring. I want us to look at different pieces. Look at the walls of jasper. Jasper comes from volcanic ash, or fine pyroclastic material. The cementation process is so aggressive that the crystals sometimes break during the process. They dissolve and recrystallize into microcrystalline quartz. Now, don't get caught up in all the materials and all of the details there, but if you break during your fiery trial, if you come to a breaking point, it's because God knew you needed to be reformed and needed to recrystallize. If He allows you to break, you can count it all joy because He's reforming you. He's refining you. He's recrystallizing you into something that is going to be more pure. He is taking you from volcanic ash, which is just the leftovers of an eruption, to fine crystalline quartz, something beauty and valuable enough to stand on the foundations of heaven. The breaking is just a part of the process. So count it all joy that there is purpose in your breaking. Streets of gold is the second thing I want us to look at. Gold is melted past its melting point of 1,948 degrees Fahrenheit. Now that's hot. And it's continually stirred until all the impurities are brought to the top of the mixture. Then they are removed. So if you're being put on a hot place, if you're in a fiery trial, and not only that, but you're being stirred. You're being stirred around. God's dealing with you on something. You're in a hard place. Just count it all joy because He's stirring you so that the impurities surface. He's just wanting to get stuff out of you. He's just working on it so that when those things come to the top, He can scrape them off. And then when He looks down, He sees His reflection. We may be in a furnace a while, but God is waiting until some impurity surface that He knows must come out. Count it all joy, my friend, that while you're in a fiery trial, it's all about heaven. He's just trying to purify us like the gold that's there. There's other methods of gold purification that I want to take us through, and they involve the use of very dangerous and often deadly chemicals. The first step, strong acids like nitric acid, which can dissolve a bullet, by the way, and hydrochloric acid, which can burn to the bone of a person. They're mixed and poured over the impure gold to dissolve the gold. We must remember that, like we said last week, God kills and He makes alive. He may use something we think can destroy us to draw some impurities out of us. He may pour something over us just so some impurities start to surface. We can count it all joy, even in the roughest, hottest trials and most extreme circumstance, knowing God is working for us, through us, and on us. He wants to prepare us to meet with Him. It is His love that does this. He loves us, and He's working on us to cause us to be pure so we can live forever in His sight. Count it all joy, knowing that it's all about heaven, that He loves us enough not to leave us the way we are, but to refine us as gold and silver, the writer said, that we may live with Him. He loves us. And He is going to love us, perfect us, and be with us the whole time he does it. See, it was he who said to the children of Israel through his servant Isaiah, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen the furnace of affliction for mine own sake, even mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory to another?" He's doing it for his namesake. See, we are called to be people of the name. We are called to be people to bear his name. And that is a reward that we get both here and in heaven. When you read Revelation and it says that we will stand in the temple of our God bearing his name and even his new name. We are people of the name of Jesus. But if we are to bear his name, we have to also match the purity of the one who has the name. We have to match the purity of Jesus. He's chosen the furnace of affliction to refine us and to purify us for his sake. It's all about him. It's developing his character in us so we can stand with him in eternity and bear his name forever and ever. And there's a promise even most precious at the end of that passage in Isaiah that said, "And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them, and he clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out." The Lord caused his children to go through the desert, but they did not thirst. My friend, you may go through a rough, dry place, but there will be streams come up out of the desert so you can bend down and get a drink of water. He calls the water to flow out of the rock and provide them drink. He calls them to pass through the night, but you can find where he led them with a fire by night and a cloud by day. So you may find yourself in a desert. You may find yourself in a night season. You may find yourself not having any direction. Look up. He's there with a fire by night and a cloud by day leading us. His children faced armies and fought battles, but his hand went before them. They were tried and tested, but he was always there. I tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ is always there, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, even in our trial. Friend, one contending for the faith, you may be in the middle of a desert, a dry and barren place, in the middle of a trial, but Christ is there for you. Water will flow out of the rock for you. He's standing right there with you. He's in the desert. You're one of his children. He's not going to let you die in a desert because he intends for you to walk through it. He had a promised land on the other side of the children of Israel's desert. And just like them, so does he have for us a promised land on the other side of our barren place. And friend, one who doesn't know the Lord, you may be saying, "Drake, you have recounted all of these promises and you have told us about the hope that's in Christ Jesus and you have been talking about all of these truths of God, but Drake, I don't know the Lord. I've never even heard of a man called Jesus." My friend, he's here for you too. I want you to stop now, saint or sinner alike, it doesn't matter. Think about the roughest thing that you're going through right now. Think of that one thing you think could kill you right now that you think, "If I don't get some help in this, I'm not going to make it." My friend, he can take that and turn it around for your good and his purpose, both on this earth and in eternity. He is able to take it if you will just turn to the Lord. I promise he can and will take the worst circumstance you can think of and turn it around. He is a precious and graceful God, and he wants to help you. He's standing right there, willing and able to work in the middle of the context of the contradictions in our life. I promise you, he's there. So though the waters may rise, the sun may be hot, and the day may be long, you can walk through life just muttering to yourself, I count it all joy because Jesus loves me and he's with me and this is all about heaven. You may be hit with financial crisis and you can say, I can count it all joy. Jesus loves me. He's with me. And it's all about heaven. You may be hit with a job problem, a personal problem. You may be hit with health crises. They're abounding often here lately. And you can keep your head up, smiling, knowing I can count it all joy. Every fiery trial that comes my way is meant to purify me so that I take on the character of Christ and I'm headed towards heaven. I can count it all joy. Jesus loves me. He is with me. And it's all about heaven. There's one more aspect of heaven I want us to investigate, and that's the gates of pearl. Natural pearls form when an irritant, usually a parasite or the proverbial grain of sand, works its way into an oyster, a mussel, or a clam. And as a defense mechanism, a fluid is used to coat the irritant. And then layer upon layer, a substance called nacre is deposited until a lustrous pearl is formed. When we have something come into our life, diverse temptations, fiery trials, hardships, whatever God may bring, we have three options. We can spend our time trying to flush it out, trying to get rid of something, trying to get out of the test. If you're victorious in this, you will have sold your purification process for some momentary comfort. The second option we have is to spend our life in agitation concerning the irritant, but not doing anything about it. And the third option we have is to release a substance called nacre, or faith, a solution that coats the irritant and covers it with a layer upon layer until it creates in the oyster a pearl. When the irritant is in the oyster, the process of transformation is uncomfortable and painful, but nevertheless, it's vital. And when the irritant has become a pearl, the value of the oyster which it possesses has increased its value by 100-fold. It's no surprise then that God uses pearls as gates into heaven. The irritations, the fiery trials, and the diverse temptations we face become our gateway to meeting the criteria of heaven and entering into the very presence of God. When we walk through those gates of pearl, we will walk through all those irritations, all those fiery trials and hardships as we see the reward we are to inherit and live in for eternity. Walking through our hardships and trials leads us to heaven. So my friend, count it all joy, for Jesus loves you and he's with you, preparing you to spend eternity with him. And look at Jesus. Jesus went through all he went through before he was able to be seated back at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was perfect. He was undefiled in all his ways. He was righteous, pure, and holy. Yet he had to go through some things before he could be exalted once again above the heavens. His flesh had to die. Before Jesus could once again meet the criteria of heaven, he had to submit to the will of the Father and complete the work that had been set out before him. What I want us to see is this. Revelation 21 and 27 says, "Nothing impure will ever enter the kingdom of heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." This shows once again the criteria of heaven can be summed up in one word, purity. Read again from the NASB, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination or lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The word unclean here comes from a word which means in context, to prevail against. So really, the scripture says this, "And nothing which has not prevailed against the fiery trials of their faith and who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into the kingdom of heaven, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So the criteria of heaven is to have prevailed against the fiery trials God allows us to go through. One more thing and I'm out of here. I heard a mighty man of God and a well-known minister in our movement say this a long time ago, and I liked it. What you thought was a cosmic accident was a divine appointment. What we thought was a terrible tragedy was really a part of the process of purifying ourselves. We were coming to an appointed time with God to purify us. When we pray, Jesus, let me be like you, what we're praying is truly, Jesus, allow us to be pure and holy and right in all our ways and without spot or blemish. See, being like Jesus is not always about walking on water or healing the sick or preaching to thousands. It's about being betrayed and left and misunderstood and taking those things and allowing them to purify us rather than polluting us. My friend, all this, all the trials we face, all those hard decisions, all the Calvary experiences we come to, it is all about heaven. My friends, I pray this week that you're blessed. I pray that whatever you may go through, you count it all joy, knowing that it's all about heaven. I hope you're blessed, you have peace, you have joy, and if you have a home church, I pray that church is blessed. I pray you and them are experiencing a wonderful time with the Lord. And if you don't, and you're in the Athens, Georgia area, I would love to invite you to Restoration Apostolic Church, 110 Morris Grove Road, Winterville, Georgia. And if you don't live near Athens, or you don't have a home church, or whatever the case may be, if you're around the state, if you're around the nation, or around the globe, and you need help connecting to a people of God, please reach out to me. I would love to help you. And until next time, thank you and be blessed.